Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio. My name is Paul Segretto, CEO of Franchise Foundry, a proud sponsor of Social Geek Radio. Now, if you're really ready to geek it out, I'd like to introduce you to Social Geek Radio's hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Monson.
Hi there, this is Deb Evans coming to you live from Stagecoach, Texas,
and Jack Monson coming to you live from somewhere outside of Chicago. It is 8 o'clock in the east and 5 o'clock in the west, and this is Social Geek Radio. How you doing, Deb?
I'm doing great. I loved our new intros, and I'm always surprised. Who's going to intro us tonight? And our good friend Paul Segretto, who is actually attending the Franchise Update in Atlanta today and tomorrow, and did his Franchise Blog Talk Radio show. He actually had a stand-in today for Franchise Today, as Ken Freeman sat in for him. So thank you, Paul, for the great intro. It was good to hear his voice.
Yeah, and it's good to hear Paul back live on Franchise mm-hmm. Today podcast. It's my second favorite podcast every Wednesday after this little show here. Yeah,
it's great
to hear him back there. And if anyone in the franchise community is listening from the Franchise Update conference in Atlanta tonight, hello. Sorry we couldn't be there, Deb. It looks like that was going to be a pretty good conference, but there's a lot more events coming up in the franchise community still for the rest of this year. I know we've got the Emerging Franchisor Conference coming up in November. That's in Dallas, right?
Yes, I'll be there. Mm-hmm. Be in Dallas. And, we might have to do Social Geek Radio from Dallas. That'll be cool.
We could do I think we'll have to do a live show from there. That would be great.
Yep.
And then the really big show, convention in February, Las Vegas again at the MGM Grand. I believe early registration ends either this week or next week. So if you want to get in and get registered with the International Franchise Association annual convention at the lowest possible rates, be sure to go to franchise.org, check it out now, make sure you get in, make sure you get a room at the MGM Grand, and plan on seeing all of us at the convention in February.
Yes. So we've got a fun guest tonight speaking to us. Why don't you go ahead and introduce Andy, and we'll let him out that green room.
Absolutely. Andy, prepare to come on out. Our guest tonight is Andy Nathan, who is the author of the book Startup Gap, Stories Between Dreams and Success. Good evening, Andy. Thanks for joining us on Social Geek Radio.
Thank you so much, Deb and Jack, for the invitation. So I'm glad to be here.
So before we get into some of the discussion on the book, tell us a little bit about your day-to-day business and the company that you run and the kind of work that you're doing.
Okay. I am a freelance content writer, and I own my own business doing online marketing, and basically all day long I sit here and write articles for blog posts, email newsletters, social media updates, books, and any other type of copywriting or writing that someone would need for their online business. And I have fun. I get to sit home and write all day. It's kind of a fun life.
That's the American dream, I think, these days, is being able to do that. Tell us about some of the types of businesses or executives or other types of people or companies that you're doing all of this content creation for.
Well, I'm very fortunate. I mean, I have a wide array of clients. I just picked up some good clients out of New York and Boston, and but I have clients all over the world. Clients in Armenia, Australia, New Zealand, England. I have some even in Canada. It's a worldwide business, which is really kind of nice for me. I've worked with hundreds of clients over the past few years in over 75 different industries, so it's not really restrictive to one specific industry or niche. a lot of marketing agencies do contact me to write some of the stuff for either themselves or for their clients, but I've written about a lot of cool stuff over the years.
What's really hitting these days when it comes to the types of things you're writing? Is it more marketing messages, or is it lifestyle content, or is it stories about the companies? What seems to be the most popular thing for your clients these days?
In terms of my clients, I'm getting a lot of... I have one client who has me writing reviews with actually like a small video that I have to create each week. And that one actually works well for them because they actually use it for a review site. I have other clients. I mean, it really depends upon the client. But most of them, it's about creating information. You don't want to sit there and blog all the time about yourself. You really want to provide valuable information that helps your clients and helps, or I'm sorry, not, well, not, you want to help your clients find their own clients. And the way to do that is not just to sell through blogging. The way to do that is to actually provide something of value and use inbound marketing skills that a lot of great entrepreneurs before us have talked about, people like Seth Godin, who is the master of permission-based marketing.
Mm.
Yeah, it's certainly a different world than it was, you know, I guess we talk about the old days as being 5 years ago at this point. Though I guess 5 years ago people were blogging. It wasn't the same kind of storytelling happening on blogs even 5 years ago as it is now, I
Absolutely.
Guess.
You know what, and it's kind of weird you say that. I actually started blogging about 5 years ago. And because I started up my business at that point. And it was because I came from the real estate and the mortgage business, and that business, it's all hard sell. I mean, you give valuable information, but at the end of the day, it's mostly a sales business, and you're focusing on how many people you talk to and how many sales you can make. And when I first started doing blogging, it was really – it was a different change, and it was interesting also because you said, like, no one knew. I mean, I would go to local networking events and talk about what I did, and Twitter at that point had just started to grow in popularity, and most of the entrepreneurs there say, what do you do with birds? Because that's how little they knew about Twitter and blogging and everything else.
That's great. It seems to me like I started my blog about 5 years ago as well, and I kind of fell into that same category that I think a lot of people did. It was like, well, what should I write about today? I don't know. Let's write about my favorite song. Okay, you know, and it wasn't really good storytelling. It was just people, you know, giving a little slice of life of what they were doing that day. Deb, when did you start your first blog?
Geez, it was probably around the time I started Social Geek Radio, which would have been about 4 years ago.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Not as long as you guys.
But, you know, it's really amazing just how blogs have gone from, you know, somebody's personal private journal to really, especially in Andy's clients' cases, really sort of like, the main focus of lead generation for a business, you know. Andy, tell us about how you made the transition from real estate into blogging and writing professionally.
Well, it's a natural transition, right?
Yeah,
or
sure.
Not. Yeah. You know what? I used to work with, when I was in real estate, I used to work with a lot of real estate investors. And so part of it was I had an entrepreneurial mindset before I switched over, and I was sort of looking for a business to start when I started this business. But I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And what happened was I actually didn't start off writing. It was actually the blog was supposed to be to promote my own business, which was social media consulting, which was initially where – all of my business came from. I switched over about 2-3 years ago when everyone started asking me more and more, hey, can you write blog posts for me? And I said, well, maybe I should be doing that instead.
Right.
So the light bulb went on. But what happened was that I was looking for something to do, and I started doing Twitter and Facebook, and I started to connect with people. And what I realized was that, you know, I'm driving these people to Twitter, but there's nowhere for me to really do anything with them on Twitter. It's just, you know, you interact with people. And Deb, I mentioned this to you before,
mm-hmm.
I have 40 accounts on Twitter. And it's really great, and you could drive a lot of traffic to that, but you have to have a location to drive that traffic to. And
right.
I remember one month in 2009, I drove 5,000 views to an Amazon affiliate account, and I had like $10 in sales. So obviously just blindly sending traffic somewhere doesn't work. So I started looking at, well, what should I do instead? And I'm not a writer. And in fact, when I started, my wife told me that I have the worst writing skills in the entire world. in no uncertain terms. Into this day, I repeat, that mantra is like, it's not about the writer. It's I have the best editor in the world. So, because that's really what it's about. You just have to make sure that you have somebody who can help you with that. And so I started transitioning over to writing, and I started writing for myself. And the first blog post I wrote, I look back at them now, and oh God, they were horrible. I mean, they were 150 word articles, and I thought that was a lot back then. And I just, there was no flow, there was no continuity, and I started learning how to write more, and I started going into the grammar, and I started understanding what people want when you're writing and how to do the SEO portion of it. And the more I did it, the more I started to understand what to do. And it wasn't like an immediate process, but it sort of, the Twitter happened first because I was using, going back a step, I had a social media agency, and the reason why I had that was because I started using social media because the real estate investors weren't really buying any properties, because even with an 800 credit score and $200,000 in the bank, most of them had too many properties and they were getting turned out.
Uh-huh.
So I started using Twitter, started finding people, and I started building a business from that, but everyone kept getting rejected because it was 2008 and 2009, and no one really could get a loan back then. So my dad one day said to me, well, you should turn this into a business. I started using Twitter. I started promoting my Twitter services to people, and I used the blog to start driving in traffic. And eventually it all sort of just came together, and I started writing more. And that was really when I was able to start growing the business a lot faster.
Wow.
And Deb, it sounds like, you know, what I always say behind every great man is a woman telling him that he's doing it wrong.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. I must be a really great man. I've had a lot of women tell me I'm doing it wrong. My mom tells me, what are you doing? My wife.
Well,
yeah.
You get a lot of editorial help, Andy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So tell us now about your book, The Startup Gap. What was sort of the seed of this, or, you know, where did this really come from?
Well, sort of what we were just talking about, that process, when when a lot of it was when I started, I didn't know what to do. And like I was mentioning before, I wasn't sure. I knew I wanted to start a business. I didn't know initially what business I wanted to start. And for me, every entrepreneur has to start with some dream. And I started looking into it more and more. And what I found out was that a lot of entrepreneurs, they talk about all these great things that they're doing, but they don't tell you how they got there in the first place. So it's really easy for someone like, let's just say Tony Robbins, to say, hey, create a landing page and then bring in 10,000 email subscribers. And then the next day, you sell to them and talk about your product, and then you have an upsell, and then all of a sudden you make $100,000 in a month. For someone like him who makes like millions and millions of dollars every month, that's a really easy process. But when you're starting out, you don't know how to do that. And I really wanted to evaluate that. And one of the things I noticed was that when I was doing some early research, was that I looked at Twitter, and everyone talks about Twitter and, you know, like, hey, it's explosive growth. Well, if you look, there's a site, and I have to find the site because I looked at this about 2 years ago. The first 1,000 Twitter followers, it took them 7 months to get that. Now,
wow.
This is a free website.
I mean,
yeah. And you're talking about one of the, what do they have, like 500 million people on the site now. It took them 7 months to get 1,000 users. In fact, the first month, they only had 25 people that were signed up to the site, and four of them were the original co-founders of the site. So there's a lot of things that happen between the dreams and success, and I really think that a lot of people don't understand what happens, and I really wanted to get into that process and how do they do that. And what I discovered when I interviewed a lot of people, most of them had a very similar process. They did different things and they were in different industries, but there was overlaps between a lot of them. And sort of what you were saying, behind every great man there's a woman who complains. And it's a lot of them faced a lot of people complaining about what they were doing.
Uh-huh.
That's actually one of the things you have to be able to overcome, the challenge. And some of the biggest adversaries that people had were the family.
Oh, sure. And what other overlaps did you see with some of these entrepreneurs? Was there always someone else maybe who suggested, hey, you should start a business, or you should make this into a business or something like that? Did people also have a catalyst in their life or any other overlaps like that?
Absolutely. It depends on the person, but yeah, you would see a lot of people. You would see a lot of people who would have that catalyst in their life, and at the same point, a lot of them had an internal drive as well. Like, for example, I interviewed Joel Kahn, and he was telling me a story, and he was the first person I interviewed because I had met him at a conference a few months before, and I really just wanted to get the story down. And he told me this story that stuck with me ever since he said it. He was at a point where he got some investing, and he was starting this business, and he was down to about $1 and change in his account, and he had about $25,000 in investments to fund the business. Well, he sort of had a conversation with God. He said, hey, look, God, if this is the right thing for me to do, let me know. I thought this is what you're going to want me to do. And he had that faith and that belief, and he was open and honest. And in the following weeks, he actually picked up a large client, was able to turn it around. But if he didn't have that faith and he didn't really believe in something higher to help propel him, he wouldn't have been able to make it. And that's not a discussion about religion. It's more just a discussion about believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Any other interesting stories of any of these entrepreneurs that you can share, or maybe anything else that you saw as a common thread between some of these entrepreneurs?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them had, it wasn't just that, it was the habits that they picked up. Like, for example, I interviewed Liz Strauss, who is a prolific blogger herself.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is as much a habit as, and I asked her about motivation. And a lot of times you hear motivation, and I like the Ziglar's line, motivation's like bathing, you have to do it every day. And she made a comment. I said, well, I asked her about being successful and what motivates her, and she said, well, you know, I wake up at 4:30 every morning, and by about 10 o'clock every day, I feel successful. She said it's really an everyday thing. Every day you have to motivate yourself because you think you've got to that point when you're successful, and then something happens. And you're always having to continuously motivate yourself and continuously driving yourself to do more. And a lot of the people that I would talk to, they would have these similar stories, and they would talk about how, like, something would happen. David Meerman Scott was someone I interviewed, and he said that he was constantly facing challenges with people in his work, because he was working at a news, he was working at Knight Rider, I think it was. And he said that he faced some challenges with the people in the organization because he was one of the first people to start doing inbound blogging, to start using it as a business. And most of the people in the business just wanted to do advertisements, and they didn't understand what he was trying to promote. So he would get success, and then people would fight back because they didn't understand what he was doing. And it wasn't until he was successful, but he was more successful when he went out on his own, because he was able to espouse these ideas to a lot more people, and he was able to bring the book that he had. I actually have it on audiobook. I'm looking on the name. He had 200,000 to 300,000 sales in the book, and it helped him build that business and helped to spread the idea about how to communicate with people over the internet by actually sharing your ideas. And it's killing me that I cannot think of the name of the book.
Yeah, and I'm turning around, I'm looking at my bookcase of all my books, and I know I have his, and it's like, okay, which one are you talking about?
I have it on Audible, and I'm just trying to... Oh, The New Rules of Marketing and PR.
There you go.
The New Rules of Marketing and PR, yeah.
Sorry, I can't really open up my Audible on my phone right now.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I can Google that really quick, and then I thought, no, actually, I better not, because every time I try to do that, I hang up on someone. So
yeah, let's not hang up tonight. Let's not do that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I didn't think you would like that.
It would make me sad.
It sounds like you've got a great corral of people that you interviewed for this book. How many total people did you interview, or entrepreneurs, or part of the book?
Interviewed 22 entrepreneurs, and then also did research on about another 100, just
wow.
getting their story. So some of them were people from history, and some of them were people today. Surprisingly enough, it was hard to reach billionaires to get into the book. But I would have loved to. If Warren Buffett would talk to me for an interview, that'd be great. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to get him.
Right. So. Zuckerberg still hasn't friended you. Is that true?
Yeah. You know what? I don't understand. What's up?
What's up with that? We'll have to tweet him.
He's still going through his pocket change to find money to give to the CDC, I guess. So.
I did try and reach out to some movie stars and things like that because I thought that'd be cool, and the closest I got was one of their agents saying no.
Yeah, I think that's a weird situation with so many, you know, quote unquote celebrities that they don't want to give up too much about how they made it big, unless it's going to be for something really important, like People Magazine, I suppose, right? So
yeah.
But that's fantastic. Andy, what's the best way, if somebody's interested in checking out your book, what's the best way for them to find it? Is it available as a download? Should they go to any specific place to get it?
It is available on Amazon. And also, if you're having trouble finding it, which if you just do a search, it should be available. You could just go to startupgap.com.
Oh, excellent. Startupgap.com. That's that's the easiest way for someone to find anything. Excellent. This is Social Geek Radio, and we're speaking with Andy Nathan tonight, author of the book Startup Gap. Andy, tell us about, in the few minutes we have left, let's talk a little bit about what you see in the world of content marketing and blogging and internet marketing. Any big trends that you're really seeing hitting right now and maybe for the rest of the year that you'd like to share?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest trend, and this has been happening for a little while, is I think what Google's done over the past few years with all the different furry animals and the algorithm changes. they've completely changed how everything works. I mean, from Panda and Penguin and Hummingbird, and I think what we have to be aware of is if you're doing content marketing now, it's not just about keywords. Yeah, you want to make sure you have it in there, but it's not enough just to use keyword marketing when you're doing your blogging. It's about consistency. It's about quality content. It's about social shares. And I think that's leading to two things happening. One, you're seeing that around the world, you either have to have quality content or you have to find a different way to market your business online. Because the people who are just delivering junk every day, they're going away. And that's a really good thing. At the same point, it's going to become harder and harder if you don't start doing it now to get involved, because there's so many people out there blogging. You have to start finding ways to differentiate yourself. You have to find ways to just create the quality content that you need. And I think that's still possible. It's a lot of it comes down to just niching yourself down and making sure that you're not trying to compete against. If you have like a retail outlet, you don't want to compete against Target. You want to find that one specific item that makes you unique and market that. I was just talking with someone who does shoes today. They were talking about having me blog for them every month. And I asked them, I said, what makes you different than Neiman Marcus? And he said, that's a good question. I don't know. And
oh, dear.
Yeah, well, he gets sales coming into his site every day, but you have to know what makes you different than them.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I think with blogging, what makes you so much different than everybody else? And, you know, part of the reason I wrote about Startup Gap is because no one writes about that. No one writes about the gap in between the dream and success. It's something different that no one else talked about before. And if you find that little niche in there, you really have to go after it. And I think that's what's going to make a big difference in the next few years.
Excellent. That's a great point. A follow-up on that, if I can ask, what would you say if you were going to give some advice to some people who are doing some of their own content marketing and writing? When it comes to consistency, is there a formula that you advise people on, you know, the number of pieces of content that they're publishing to a blog per month or per week? Is there any sort of magic number that you're advising people to hit these days?
Personally, I say you should have at least one blog or more per week. And that's because there's a few reasons for this. One, if you write one blog a month, you're never going to get into the flow of writing the blog. And that's going to affect your readers, and they're not going to come back to your site. So if you have one blog a week, then they know every week they could check out your site.
Right.
In addition
to
that,
it's almost like a cadence for the reader, but also for you as the writer, too, to get into that habit that you described earlier.
Absolutely. You have to get into the habit also because Google wants fresh content once a month. I don't think is enough. Even twice a month, I think is a little too, it falls short. That being said, I know that a lot of the sites, what's happening where a lot of people are starting to get traffic from now is they're starting to work with the bigger sites. Like, I don't write that much on my own blog anymore. I write on other sites. The reason that is, well, one, because I'm so busy writing for my clients, and some of them actually put my name on their blog. I don't know why. They think it adds a lure. Hopefully it does. But the other thing is that, you know, writing on other people's sites gives you links back to your blog, which should not be your main reason for doing it. It also gives you branding. It helps you expand your reach and your audience. And a lot of those sites that might have 100 writers, they're writing every single day, and they have multiple articles every day, which means they're going to have more traffic, which means you're going to have more traffic to that article on someone else's site, which gives you a lot more benefits to actually doing that. So part of it is, and this might be a trend that people might want to look at, is I know guest blogging has been looked down upon a little bit by some in SEO lately because it's not been done right. But if you do it right and you do it for the right reasons, you can really make some amazing changes. Jeff Bullis, who I actually interviewed in here, I met him through Triber. And we met about 2 years ago. And the reason why I asked him to speak is because I wrote a guest blog post on his site and I picked up two clients. And those two clients were like, I think it was like $500 a month in business, which is fantastic from one blog post. And that's
a nice return on investment. Yeah.
What's that?
Andy, we're just about out of time. I apologize for cutting it short, but real quick, what's the best way for people to reach you? The book is at startupgap.com. Do you have a website or a Twitter handle you want to give us as well?
Well, startupgap.com is the website, and that's probably there's a contact form there that's really easy to reach me. Also, you can reach me on Google Plus at plus.google.com/plusAndyNathan. Or definitely connect up with me on LinkedIn.
Very good. Well, thank you, Andy. It was great having
you
on, and we're anxious to get the book. And everybody else, we will talk to you next week.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Have a great evening.